Good evening, everyone. Welcome to the Yellow Dogs. It's nice to sit with you as always. I look forward to this. Starts my week in a good way. Last week, Kristen, if you can remember, talked about working on staying neutral. And really, that just kind of stirred us up. And because it kind of woke up all of us to what she might mean by being neutral. And in some sense, not to have an inner comment about everything in life. Have you noticed that about yourself? Thinking that, well, we're conditioned to to comment about everything that we see, hear, smell, taste, you know, think, all the other senses. We feel like we have to comment, and yet it's not necessary. In fact, it expends a lot of our energy unnecessarily. So then Paul reminded us last week that neutral is an important part of the Buddhist understanding or teachings, because we quite naturally have this conditioned, natural from nature, a conditioning of when any of the six senses arise, then we are liking it, disliking it, or feeling neutral. And so when we use the word neutral in that context, it just means that that part of the life we're not interested in. So, you know, we want to be interested in all of life, the good, the bad, and the ugly. So it just means that we miss an opportunity to be conscious of every part of our life. But we disregard some things in our life until we start waking up and seeing that it's all important. And after we have acknowledged how we conditionally react with the like and the don't like and the not interested, then that sacred pause arises and we have a choice of what to do with it. But I think Kristen's not here tonight, but there you are, Kristen. Yes, you are. I think what she meant in practice and staying neutral is what we all understood too. It's equanimous, balance. You know, we've got all these things coming at us and we get overwhelmed because we think, for one thing, we think we can control something and we can't, regardless of how small or large it is, and that it is not necessary. It just causes us more stress. So what is equanimity in the Buddha Dharma? Well, it has to do with having a perspective on life and the effort we're putting out and the changes we're going through. So there was this effort, it seemed like, Kristen, to just be with the information, just listening to it or, you know, or seeing it or whatever we're doing, but not necessarily feeling like there's anything that we need to do. You know how we pester ourselves that we don't do enough for humanity or for our community or whatever, and yet we are practicing the most, in my opinion, that this is what's going to free all of us. And the little bit that we put within our lives and around everybody in our lives is so precious and valuable, and it does make a difference. But even if we're out there wanting to help and support, again, it's how we do it. Because we can put in just more stress with the stress. We can put more anxiety in with the anxiety. So it is very, very important that we are conscious of how we are dealing with the information age. So, but we establish, and this is what our practice does for us, it establishes a sense of balance within. And that equanimity, because we've practiced being quiet and still, is the support system or the refuge that we need. And so equanimity demands of us wisdom. Otherwise, we don't even know what we're talking about. You know, could talk about equanimity to someone else and they don't understand, or being studying the Buddha Dharma, it just doesn't make sense. But it gives us a growing sense of peace. And remember, the only peace that we're going to ever have is the peace within. If we're thinking the world's going to be peaceful, or our community is going to be peaceful, or our neighbors are going to, you know, forget it. It's just not going to happen. It is the way of things. But the peace comes from within us. It's not out there. And it has a direct effect on all of us. And so how do we navigate the overall unruliness of life? Because I don't know about you, sometimes the information here lately, you know, it just keeps coming at us, is filled as if with these urgencies. And we take on that urgency. And because why? Well, you know, we're human beings and we're conditioned. And, you know, we're sitting even tonight with tasks undone that we didn't finish today. And we know a lot of friends who need help. And we ourselves have health problems along with people we care about. There's these financial pressures, family crisis, community crisis, world crisis. So, hello, that's life. That's life. And so if we can sustain ourselves, our own sanity, our own open hearts, and clear vision in the face of these ongoing challenges, it shifts. Instead of adding more anxiety, more stress, then we know what to do with it. It's just like we know what to do with all our emotions. It's not like we're going to wipe them out, or all of a sudden the world's going to become peaceful in every aspect. It's just not going to happen. So a clear vision in the face of these ongoing challenges is important, and it has to do with us within ourselves. And the answer in Buddha Dharma is equanimity. And when we think of equanimity, We think of the Pali word upekkha, which is most effectively translated as balance. Often, in this context, the balance born from wisdom. And we've already see this in our lives. You know, when we are making a mistake or something happens that we don't like, you know, I can tell you, you don't react the way you used to. There's more responses to the things in life that we can't change in some respect, or control in all respect. So for some of us, when we talk about equanimity without the wisdom implies coolness and indifference. Renita, you're just lazy. You don't want to go out there and help people. Or even fear, masquerading as being just fine. Hear a teenager saying, whatever, whatever. Whatever. And another misconception that people presume for the meaning of equanimity is passivity. It's not passivity either. So in that view, if we approach bad things with equanimity, maybe we're just being a doormat. No, we know that. We know there's a time to stand up, and we know we can say no, and we have discriminating wisdom. So where did this discriminating wisdom come from? From where? Well, we know. It's from our practice, and it happens quite naturally. So there's really no fear within us that we're going to not be aware of things that we don't understand or don't know what to do with them. So it's not being a doormat. It's not being unconscious. It's not being supportive and helpful to the humanity. And there's too many wise people who have said to me, work on yourself. Work on yourself first. Because if we don't have this sense of peace, when we go to help people, we're taking all our garbage with us. It's not true help. It let me feel better in some respect. And that's not true for most people I know in the service business. It's not. But I'm just talking about the difference. So balance is readily seen sometimes as mediocrity, something bland, a kind of a series of concessions that takes you to the lowest common denominator. But our spiritual journey, we're learning how to feel this intensity without being overwhelmed. How? Well, the only really true refuge there is within us. Now, the Sangha provides a refuge for us. But ultimately, we will get to the point where the only refuge there is what's within us. Truly. And so you hear, how does the Dalai Lama, how can he move and live his life with such peace and such childlike gestures and, you know, how he is? How can he do that knowing the conditions of the world? I mean, he's kicked out of his own country. My gosh. So balance doesn't come from wiping out all feeling. We don't have many models for navigating strong emotions in a more balanced way. Because, like me, a lot of us are conditioned toward extremes. when at one time when I felt anger, you better not be around me. And if I perceive you as being the one who made me angry, woe is you. So when it comes to feeling painful emotions like anger and fear, see how we can get lost in them, and yet we know their true nature. They're just part of being a human being, and we don't have to grab onto them as if that's who we are, or to keep the story going, or keep the suffering going. So we may think there's no way out, and we come to identify with these feelings. But again, the Buddha Dharma teaches us what to do, that we're not our feelings, we're not our thoughts. There's lots of things we identify with. We're just not, that's not who we are. And that's what we're all about. We want to know who we are. So I'm not an angry person. I'm a person with anger. I'm not a fearful person. I'm a person with fear. And if we got on the level of real honesty, we all have those emotions. But we're scared to death of them. Why? Because we don't know what to do with them, you know? And so, on the other hand, we run from it. We know that. We turn away from the tough feelings. We don't want to go there. And again, this practice says, go there. Go there. Go there every time. Anytime that you have a strong feeling that you don't want to go there, that means go there. Because that's what we want to know. The truth of it. And the only way we can find the truth of it is we have to acknowledge it and allow it and to experience it in the only way that we can experience it within the body. And then nature takes over because we're in line with nature. We're not pushing against nature. We're not pushing against the universe saying, that shouldn't be here, universe. It should be like this. No, we bring wisdom and understanding to things we don't understand. And something happens. So, rain, as we all know, whatever it is in our lives, rain is the acronym that we want to use for anything, everything. Is to recognize it and allow it. And then instead of taking it to the head, we take it to the body, because there the body, through the sensations, because we know our sensations. We're not taking it to the head, so we're experiencing it. Does it stay very long? Not unless we keep it going. And so how do we keep it going? By taking it to the mind. By taking it to the mind. And so there you are. Thank you, Kristen, so much for bringing up such an important topic last week, and certainly got me motivated to speak even more about it and how important it is. And so with that, I'll stop, and then we'll open it up to you.